The Summa Theologiae by St. Thomas Aquinas. Third part, question 79, the effects of this sacrament. Article 1. Whether grace is bestowed through this sacrament. Our Lord says in John 6:52, "The bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." But the spiritual life is the effect of grace. Therefore, grace is bestowed through this sacrament. The effect of this sacrament ought to be considered, first of all and principally, from what is contained in this sacrament, which is Christ, who, just as by coming into the world he visibly bestowed the life of grace upon the world, according to John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, so also by coming sacramentally into man causes the life of grace, according to John 6:58, "He that eateth me, the same also shall live by me." Hence St. Cyril says, "God's life-giving word, by uniting himself with his own flesh, made it to be productive of life, for it was becoming that he should be united somehow with bodies through his sacred flesh and precious blood, which we receive in a life-giving blessing in the bread and wine." Secondly, the effect of this sacrament is considered on the part of what is represented by this sacrament, which is Christ's passion. And therefore this sacrament works in man the effect which Christ's passion wrought in the world. Hence St. John Chrysostom says on the words, "Immediately there came out blood and water," "Since the sacred mysteries derive their origin from thence, when you draw nigh to the awe-inspiring chalice, so approach as if you were going to drink from Christ's own side." Hence our Lord himself says in Matthew 26:28, "This is my blood, which shall be shed for many unto the remission of sins." Thirdly, the effect of this sacrament is considered from the way in which this sacrament is given, for it is given by way of food and drink. And therefore this sacrament does for the spiritual life all that material food does for the bodily life, namely by sustaining, giving increase, restoring, and giving delight. Accordingly, St. Ambrose says, "This is the bread of everlasting life, which supports the substance of our soul." And Chrysostom says, "When we desire it, he lets us feel him and eat him and embrace him." Hence our Lord says in John 6:56, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Fourthly, the effect of this sacrament is considered from the species under which it is given. Hence Augustine says, "Our Lord betokened his body and blood in things which out of many units are made into some one whole. For out of many grains is one thing made, namely bread, and many grapes flow into one thing, namely wine." And therefore he observes elsewhere, "O sacrament of piety, O sign of unity, O bond of charity." And since Christ and his passion are the cause of grace, and since spiritual refreshment and charity cannot be without grace, it is clear from all that has been set forth that this sacrament bestows grace. Article 2. Whether the attaining of glory is an effect of this sacrament. It is written in John 6:52, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." But eternal life is the life of glory. Therefore, the attaining of glory is an effect of this sacrament. In this sacrament, we may consider both that from which it derives its effect, namely Christ contained in it, as also his passion represented by it, and that through which it works its effect, namely the use of the sacrament and its species. Now, as to both of these, it belongs to this sacrament to cause the attaining of eternal life, because it was by his passion that Christ opened to us the approach to eternal life. According to Hebrews 9:15, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Accordingly, in the form of this sacrament, it is said, "This is the chalice of my blood of the New and Eternal Testament." In like manner, the refreshment of spiritual food and the unity denoted by the species of the bread and wine are to be had in the present life, although imperfectly, but perfectly in the state of glory. Hence Augustine says on the words, "My flesh is food indeed," John 6:56, "Seeing that in meat and drink men aim at this, that they hunger not nor thirst, this verily not doth afford save only this meat and drink which maketh them who partake thereof to be immortal and incorruptible in the fellowship of the saints, where shall be peace and unity full and perfect." Article 3. Whether the forgiveness of mortal sin is an effect of this sacrament. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:29, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself." And a gloss of the same passage makes the following commentary, "He eats and drinks unworthily who is in the state of sin, or who handles the sacrament irreverently, and such a one eats and drinks judgment, that is damnation unto himself. Therefore he that is in mortal sin, by taking the sacrament, heaps sin upon sin, rather than obtains forgiveness of his sin." The power of this sacrament can be considered in two ways. First of all, in itself, and thus the sacrament has from Christ's passion the power of forgiving all sins, since the passion is the font and cause of the forgiveness of sins. But secondly, it can be considered in comparison with the recipient of the sacrament, insofar as there is or is not found in him an obstacle to receiving the fruit of the sacrament. Now whoever is conscious of mortal sin has within him an obstacle to receiving the effect of this sacrament, since he is not a proper recipient of this sacrament, both because he is not alive spiritually, and so he ought not to eat the spiritual nourishment, since nourishment is confined to the living, and because he cannot be united with Christ, which is the effect of this sacrament, as long as he retains an attachment towards mortal sin. Consequently, if the soul leans towards sin, it is burdened rather than purified from partaking of the Eucharist. Hence, in him who is conscious of mortal sin, this sacrament does not cause the forgiveness of sin. Article 4. Whether venial sins are forgiven through this sacrament. Pope Innocent III says that this sacrament blots out venial sins and wards off mortal sins. Two things may be considered in this sacrament, namely, the sacrament itself and the reality of the sacrament. And it appears from both that this sacrament has the power of forgiving venial sins. For this sacrament is received under the form of nourishing food. Now, nourishment from food is requisite for the body to make good the daily waste caused by the action of natural heat. But something is also lost daily of our spirituality from the heat of concupiscence through venial sins, which lessen the fervor of charity. And therefore it belongs to this sacrament to forgive venial sins. Hence St. Ambrose says that this daily bread is taken as a remedy against daily infirmity. The reality of this sacrament is charity, not only as to its habit, but also as to its act, which is kindled in this sacrament. And by this means, venial sins are forgiven. Consequently, it is manifest that venial sins are forgiven by the power of this sacrament. Article 6. Whether man is preserved by this sacrament from future sins. Our Lord said in John 6:50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if any man eat of it, he may not die," which manifestly is not to be understood of the death of the body. Therefore, it is to be understood that this sacrament preserves from spiritual death, which is through sin. Sin is the spiritual death of the soul. Hence, man is preserved from future sin in the same way as the body is preserved from future death of the body. And this happens in two ways. First of all, insofar as man's nature is strengthened inwardly against inner decay, and so by means of food and medicine he is preserved from death. Secondly, by being guarded against outward assaults, and thus he is protected by means of arms by which he defends his body. Now this sacrament preserves man from sin in both of these ways. For first of all, by uniting man with Christ through grace, it strengthens his spiritual life, as spiritual food and spiritual medicine, according to Psalm 103 verse 5, "That bread may strengthen man's heart." St. Augustine likewise says, "Approach without fear, it is bread, not poison." Secondly, inasmuch as it is a sign of Christ's passion, whereby the devils are conquered, it repels all the assaults of demons. Hence St. John Chrysostom says, "Like lions breathing forth fire, thus do we depart from that table, being made terrible to the devil." Article 7. Whether this sacrament benefit others besides the recipients. Prayer is made for many others during the celebration of this sacrament, which would serve no purpose were the sacrament not beneficial to others. The sacrament is not only a sacrament, but also a sacrifice, for it has the nature of a sacrifice, inasmuch as in this sacrament Christ's passion is represented, whereby Christ offered himself a victim to God, Ephesians 5:2. And it has the nature of a sacrament inasmuch as invisible grace is bestowed in this sacrament under a visible species. So then, this sacrament benefits recipients by way both of sacrament and of sacrifice, because it is offered for all who partake of it. For it is said in the canon of the Mass, "May as many of us as by participation at this altar shall receive the most sacred body and blood of thy Son, be filled with all heavenly benediction and grace." But to others who do not receive it, it is beneficial by way of sacrifice, inasmuch as it is offered for their salvation. Hence it is said in the canon of the Mass, "Be mindful, O Lord, of thy servants, for whom we offer or who offer up to thee this sacrifice of praise for themselves and for all their own, for the redemption of their souls, for the hope of their safety and salvation." And our Lord expressed both ways, saying in Matthew 26:28, "Which for you, that is who receive it, and for many, that is for others, shall be shed unto remission of sins." Article 8. Whether the effect of this sacrament is hindered by venial sin. St. John Damascene says, "The fire of that desire which is within us, being kindled by the burning coal, that is this sacrament, will consume our sins and enlighten our hearts, so that we shall be inflamed and made godlike. But the fire of our desire or love is hindered by venial sins, which hinder the fervor of charity. Venial sins can be taken in two ways. First of all, as past, secondly, as in the act of being committed. Venial sins taken in the first way do not in any way hinder the effect of this sacrament, for it can come to pass that after many venial sins a man may approach devoutly to this sacrament and fully secure its effect. Considered in the second way, venial sins do not utterly hinder the effect of this sacrament, but merely in part. For the effect of this sacrament is not only the obtaining of habitual grace or charity, but also a certain actual refreshment of spiritual sweetness, which is indeed hindered if anyone approached to this sacrament with mind distracted through venial sins. But the increase of habitual grace or of charity is not taken away.